The first weekend of Advent always helps us fill in the time between the birth of Jesus and his second coming. We have an historical date. It's really an approximate date for the birth of Jesus, but we have no date for the second coming, for Jesus' return as he promised. And as we live with that anticipation, we start to align ourselves with the community that Matthew wrote his gospel for, because they too were the next start of the next generation of people who were waiting for Jesus, but they were starting to realise that he wasn't going to come just yet. He's going to come in God's time, not in our time. And so we do have that in common with them. The theme that flows through the first weekend of Advent is that of staying awake, being prepared, and particularly coming from darkness into light, leaving behind the things of the dark and coming into the things that we are proud to celebrate in the light. Matthew, is handy to know a little bit about Matthew, I think, because you're going to be hearing his gospel this year. We've now finished with the year of Luke, and so we have Matthew for this first weekend of the church's new year. Matthew wrote his gospel primarily based on Mark's gospel. We could say that Mark's was his primary source, though the people that Mark was writing to, they were quite different in many aspects than the people that Matthew was writing to. Matthew and his community, they received these words, they were penned together around 80-85 AD, so 50-55 years after Jesus had died and ascended to heaven. And in that time, the Jewish converts to following the Christians, or the way of Christ, those Jewish converts, they were petering off, if you like. They were waning now, not so much in Mark's time. Mark wrote his sometime before Matthew, of course, but not nearly as early as what St. Paul wrote his letters. Mark's community, they were primarily Jewish converts. Matthew's community, as I said now, times had moved on. And in that time that had moved on, 10 years before Matthew wrote his gospel, Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple had been destroyed, the capital of Palestine, Israel at that stage, was moved up north, on the northwest, to a place called Yamnia. And it is there that the Pharisees started to become the religious and national leaders. The people who were following the way of Christ, they were certainly some Jewish converts, but they were also, there was also a lot of Gentiles coming in, non-Jews, starting to follow. Matthew's gospel is written to reinforce the Jewishness of Jesus. It's very helpful to understand that. What I mean by reinforce the Jewishness of Jesus, because non-Jews were now joining the fold, he was giving them the history, he was giving them Jesus' story, his story, history. He was wanting to make sure that people understood that this was not some dream, this was not some myth. This man, the Son of God, shares the same DNA as the Jewish people. So their heritage was really important to Matthew. He reiterates that and drives that home in the way that he uses symbolism all the way through his gospel. So in this year, you will be drawn to a lot of numbers. Matthew uses a lot of numbers, the same ones nearly always, to highlight his point. He uses repetition. I'll say that again. He uses repetition a lot in his gospel to drive home the point. The symbol for Matthew, each of the gospel writers have a traditional symbol. So for Mark, it is the lion. If you've ever been to Venice, you'll see that. St. Mark's, the lion. For Luke, it is the ox. For John, it is the eagle. But for Matthew, it is the angel. Why is it the angel? Coming back to his numbers, the angel appears at the beginning of Matthew's gospel three times. So that's the symbol, the traditional symbol for Matthew. He takes a lot of Mark's stories and parables and miracles, and where one thing happened, Matthew doubles it and makes it two things. So, for example, there was Mark has one demoniac, Matthew has two. Come to the Passion, in Mark we have Jesus coming in on a donkey to Jerusalem. In Matthew we have Jesus coming in with a colt and an ass. He doubles everything up to drive home the point. Part of it is the Jewishness, and part of it is his own way of adding emphasis. The other number that is used with Matthew is the number seven. The Lord's Prayer from Matthew's version is broken into seven phrases. Come to the Beatitudes, and you'll see that they are in seven blessings and seven woes. Matthew's Gospel, which is the longest of our Gospels, of the four Gospels we have, Matthew's Gospel starts with the genealogy of Jesus. It's begat, 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 begat. There's a whole lot of begats about. But if you look at it, they are broken up into sections of 14, three sections of 14 that give the history, Jesus' own heritage, going back to David, King David, and then going back to Abraham. There are only four women mentioned in his genealogy, and they are all significant women. And all of them, their issue in life was to do around with either promiscuity or sexuality. And so you look at Mary, for example. She was a virgin who conceived out of wedlock at that time. So it was an issue, and they are threads that Matthew uses. Now, I just think it's helpful to have those things in mind, because all of this year we're going to be hearing from Matthew, and when these numbers come up again and some individuals are mentioned and there's the repetition, I'll say that again, when there's the repetition, you'll come back to this homily, I hope, and realise that what's the point? What's Matthew trying to drive home here, because he keeps doing this? Well, it's primarily the Jewishness, making sure that we understand that Jesus was one of us. We have inherited that. We are all, as I think it was Pius XII said, we are all spiritual Semites. We are all related to Abraham. We call him our father in faith. It's important that we remember that. And to respect that and highlight what I'm saying, Jesus in Matthew's Gospel talks about the kingdom of God only five times, because Jews do not mention the name of God. So what does Matthew do? He refers to the kingdom of heaven. He says that 29 times, the kingdom of heaven. So he removes the God title from there. It's in the Jewish tradition. Matthew's Gospel also is full of sayings that we have adopted into our everyday life. You might not be aware of these, but as soon as I remind you, you'll say, oh, really? That's where that comes from. I thought that was Shakespeare. No, not at all. Matthew is significant. Matthew, his gospel, he gave us the mission of the church. He's the first one and the only one to use the word church in his gospel. He gave us the structure of what we now know as the church, the organisation as it grew into, the authority, the leadership, which was not based on power, but it was based on servant leadership. That's all Matthew. And we owe so much to him. He gave us the understanding of the sacraments of baptism, of Eucharist, and reconciliation, forgiveness. They are all from Matthew's Gospel.
these sayings. You might, as I say, they might ring a bell with you. I've got them written down because there's a few too many for me to remember. For example, many of us still say that we would refrain from casting pearls before swine, that old saying. We still separate sheep from goats. That's all Matthew. We still burn the midnight oil and we wait until the 11th hour. They are all sayings out of Matthew's gospel. We make somebody great, somebody who is a bit of a hero, we would say that they are the salt of the earth, a really good person. We warn people about being careful of wolves in sheep's clothing. Once again, all Matthew. The blind leading the blind. The peril of living by the sword, such people will die by the sword. That military saying all comes from Matthew. When we disapprove of something from Matthew, we say we wash our hands of it, coming out of Matthew's passion. There are still people who do not know, who do not let their left hand know what their right hand is doing. That's all Matthew. And we acknowledge that the spirit is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once again, not Shakespeare, Matthew. So significant is Matthew that this year will be a different journey for those of you that might have thought, oh, it's just continuing on. Not at all. And the Beatitudes, as we understand them, they come from Matthew. And we love to quote them, but we live with the we do have the challenge of trying to live with them, I think. Matthew refers to Jesus Christ 150 times in his gospel. 150 times, more than the other gospel writers. So he is taking the Son of God and he's making sure that we understand that he is one with us. We share, as I say, his DNA. Now, if I bring all of that back to the first weekend of Advent and looking at the themes that I mentioned right at the beginning, that one saying that is not from Matthew that you might use in your life over these 4 weeks coming forward to celebrate the birth of Christ, it might be that spark. And the saying that we often say is, it's dawned on me, or it just dawned on me. And I'd like you to think in your life, when did you come to a realization of something deeply spiritual in your life? When did that dawn break through to you? It came from the darkness into the light. What was that thing for you? There may be more than one. The closest example I can give you without delving too far would probably be that when I entered the seminary to study for the priesthood, I thought that I would be there a very short time. And then after a fairly short time, it dawned on me that I was in the right place at the right time. I don't know whether I'm the right fellow to be in the right place at the right time, but it dawned on me. Somehow or other, I came from a darkness into the light, and I knew that this was the right time and place for me. For you, it may be something different. I would just suggest to you that during the 4 weeks of Advent that you concentrate on finding perhaps that thing that is dark for you and leave it behind. Spend your time searching a little bit and then leave that darkness behind so that as you come into the joy of the Christmas celebrations, you can say that I have truly come from the darkness into the light. Let it dawn on you.